All right. Good morning. Yet another New Mexico presentation in substance abuse. So we've been working with Workers' Comp Administration on looking at overdose death. And so Workers' Comp, that's the basis, you know, the basics of it, it's mandated insurance program. It's a trade-off between getting immediate treatment covered by the employer, and it restricts, to some degree, the right to sue. And in New Mexico, Workers' Comp Administration administers the system. The insurance is actually provided by private providers. And we looked at this because it's a relatively small system. It's not horribly underfunded and crazy like, say, Medicaid is in New Mexico. So it looked like a possible test bed for thinking about insurance interventions around substance abuse. And a number of studies, some of the originals out of Washington State, we heard a little bit about that this morning, actually, had shown an elevated risk of overdose death. And a big factor in overdose death is long-term use of opioids. And so we're concerned about that. So we're looking at that. So the question is there something in the process of treating injured workers that leads to those higher death rates? Is there something to be done here? And one of the complications in both doing these things and measuring these things is that substance users have long careers. Nobody dies of their first prescription or the first time they use heroin. We're talking about things where people go on for 10, 20, 30 years, and then they die of an overdose. So this makes it really hard to measure some of these things. And so we're sort of struggling with that in some of these terms. So this is a quick study. Three sets of data, workers' comp, injured workers for whom a payment of some kind was made. Because what they get is they get a report of injury and they get a report that a payment was made and that some action was taken. And those are really the two things they know. Linked to medical investigator death data for the same time frame, and then linked to prescription monitoring program data to look at the prescription history. Linking, this is a relatively long time, so there's 140,000 individuals. And a lot of prescriptions, and a fair number of deaths. And this is really as a descriptive study. This is looking for what are the patterns, and could we use those to think about what we could do about it. If you look at it, people who die within a year of the date of last action, so this is the last thing recorded in the workers' comp side, and people die within a year, and the rates are higher. The red line is the statewide rate in the 15 to 64 age range, and the yellow bars are the workers' comp rate over time. It twitches up and down. It runs somewhat higher. If you look at it, if we divide things up in terms of opioid use, and we say light use is no more than 5 prescriptions and no more than 20 days total. So this is, there just isn't much evidence that a 3-day script for an injury or a dental procedure is a big problem. There are some people it triggers things, but for most people it doesn't seem, we just don't have much evidence that that creates trouble. So this is to put those, the occasional script for this and that, at one end. And at the other end is 90 days or more, chronic use, and covering at least a quarter of the whole time frame from the first opioid fill to the last opioid fill. So this is consistent chronic use, really, for the most part. Medium use is everybody else in the middle. And pretty clearly, the overdose death risk is much higher in the heavy users, and 3/4 of the heavy users had opioid scripts prior to the first reported injury in the workers' comp record that we had. Now, this workers' comp record starts in 2007. PMP starts in 2006. The heavy users may have had a prior occupational injury 10 years before. We don't know. So, but an awful lot of folks have pre-existing heavy opioid use in this. Well, you know, it's not in absolute numbers, that's the smallest group. It is the one we worry about, and it does account for more of the action. Oh, great, my graph blew up. I hate when that happens. It's okay on my phone. I don't get it. Anyway, so if we take claimants with only one injury, so as not to get confused by multiples, and we look for an index prescription, an opioid script within 7 days after an injury, which would be an indication that this is an injury that led to opioids. It's an imperfect measure, but there are no perfect ones. Same definition of light heavy use. So if we had, and the things that have dropped out are the percentages, and I didn't memorize them, so I apologize. But light use, but really it's about 80% of folks that their pre-injury use is light. They have very little use. And no index prescription. So their injury apparently did not lead to an opioid script. Light, no use prior, second bar up. With an index prescription, about 20% of the total. So these are folks where there's an injury that led to opioids. And then medium heavy use prior, I didn't really look for index prescriptions. Actually, I did, and anecdotally, because I didn't do a careful, you know, review of these. Of the first five I looked at, most of them, the prescription within 7 days after the injury that they filled looked just like the one they'd filled the month before. So in those, there's no difference, but in the heavy prior use, I didn't spend the time to sort that problem out. And they're about 10% of the total. So if you look at it by pre-usage, post-injury usage by pre, if they had medium or heavy use prior, about half of them had medium or heavy use post. Lighter, no use prior with an index prescription, then 40%, 42% had medium to heavy use post. This is the area where workers' comp probably can intervene, where there's a possibility. And light, no use prior, and no index prescription, it's less than 20% with medium, heavy, post. And that would be opioid prescriptions resulting from non-occupational injuries, for example, or for other kinds of issues. And then if we look at the death rate by the pre-injury usage in the bottom graph, then it's way higher for the people with medium heavy use prior. And the total rate is quite a lot higher than the prescription opioid rate because, again, people mix and people go back and forth between the illicit and illicit opioids. So if we look at post-injury opioid use by death rate, then we get much the same picture, but it's much more concentrated in the medium to heavy use. So again, and this is not really a surprise. All the literature says long-term, high-dose opioid use is a significant and serious risk factor for an overdose death. And the medium use post isn't much. These are deaths within 1 year of date of last action. So they're basically a one-year death rate, although if they died before the date of last action, that the last action was turning off benefits after they died, then there's a little bit of fuzz. But it's basically, it's a one-year death rate. So 6% of the claimants account for 42% of the overdose deaths and half the prescription opioid overdose deaths. And these are all folks with medium heavy use, and a lot of them had medium to heavy use prior to injury. And if you look at it, if you categorize benzodiazepine use in a very similar way to the way opioid use is categorized, then the medium to heavy benzo users are also at much higher risk for overdose death. And if you look at the combinations, then those with little or no opioid or benzo use are 70% of the claimants, a third of the overdose deaths. So the deaths are plenty. Right. This is a group worth worrying about because the number of deaths is so sizable, but it's small. And the heavy users are 2.5% of the claimants and 30% of the deaths. So again, there's a very strong association in the middle two groups. They're about 5% of each. Well, they're 5% and 15% of the total deaths. So we're starting, you know, there's a picture here. And if we look at MME per day, then we get what we would expect. Again, that's well-known risk factor for overdose death. High doses lead to higher rates. The low dose, little or no use folks have overdose death rates that are at or below the statewide overall rate. So the higher overdose death rate in workers' comp is due to the people at higher doses and chronic use. One piece of good news in all of that is that for everybody, and in fact more strongly for the workers' comp claimants, the amount of heavy use is declining. So we have we are gaining on this front with, as we tighten up prescription rules and get the guidelines in place and educate the prescribers, these things are falling. Now, it was noted this morning, we have a whole bunch of people who are opioid dependent. At State of New Mexico, we have 50,000 people who have chronic opioids, 90 days or more coverage in the last 6 months. So we could turn off the opioids tomorrow. We still have all those folks. So a couple of things. One thing is that workers' comp is not a closed system. There are a lot of opioids that are coming into the workers' comp claimant pool that are not coming out of workers' comp. 4% of the prescriptions are coded as workers' comp, but I have some real reservations about the quality of this variable for a couple of reasons. One is, you go to the emergency room with an injury, you show them your insurance card, your insurance company pays for it, and then the insurance companies fight it out among themselves in a subrogation action as to who's going to pay for what. The other thing is, these are commercial insurance companies. To code this, one of these companies as commercial insurance is not wrong. Happens to be, it's a workers' comp line. The pharmacy may not know that. And then again, it's important to remember, PMP data is coded by a pharmacy technician who's in a hurry because a big retail pharmacy is a busy place and they are moving fast to get things done. So a couple no surprises, heavy opioid use, opioids and benzos, high MME, all of these things are factors in this population like they are in every other. We see the same things across the board. And the good news, things are declining. And to echo a thing from this morning, nice charts. What do we do? And this is really the place we are with workers' comp, is trying to sort out is there an intervention that might make a difference in these death rates? Because there's and it's harder than it looked. Right? We thought, oh, workers' comp, it's a relatively closed system. Well, no, it's not. So, thank you. Yeah, and in fact, yes, we've been talking to the Workers' Comp Administration, which is the agency that actually regulates that side of the insurance business, about the non-pharmacological approaches to these things. And again, I think part of it, what we're seeing in the decline, is the recognition that opioids are not effective for things like low back pain or repetitive motion injuries or strains and sprains. And so I think over time we're going to see that decline. And so there's two things, and one is of the that there's the existing folks, and there may be an opportunity there. And then there are the people who are not yet on opioids, and that's a whole different group, and that's a set we'd like to push toward non-opioid therapy to the extent, you know, wherever it's reasonable and possible. And so that's sort of where we're headed. I think I'm out of time.